We have so much to thank him for. One of those things that he opened up our blinded eyes and washed all of our sins away. You'll find our text this morning in the book of Matthew, chapter 21. First book of the New Gospel, Matthew, chapter 21. Begin reading in verse number 28. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 28. Bible says, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' And he answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward, he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' and went not. Whether of them, or which two of them, did the will of his father? They say unto him, 'The first.' Jesus saith unto them, 'Verily, I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him.'" Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity and the privilege, Father, to come to the house of God, to fellowship with your people, to hear the good songs of Zion that are sung that praise and honor your name. Thank you for the opportunity to read and proclaim the Word of God. Lord, I'm thankful that we've already felt you here this morning, Father, the Spirit of God. And Lord, I pray, Father, that you would help us. I pray, Father, I could preach this morning outside of my ability, outside of my capability, Lord. We know that unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down, Father, it'll all be as just tinkling cymbals and sounding brass. But Father, if you choose to help us, Father, if you choose to visit with us, we'll honor and glory you for all that you do, all that you accomplish here this morning. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, I'd like to just preach on the thought for just a few minutes, yes or no. We see this parable in Matthew chapter 21. Was a great parable. I believe it's one of the greatest parables that our Lord and Savior spoke of in all of the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 21, we find that Jesus Christ, he has just entered into Jerusalem. Calvary is drawing nigh. He's headed to the cross, and it's drawing close. Just a few days away, he'll be hanging there between heaven and earth for you and me. The city, we find, is in much stir. Here Christ comes, this one from Nazareth, he's riding on an ass. Multitudes are praising him, they're crying, they're blessing him. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. Jesus, he gets down off of his beast of burden. He goes into the temple, and there in the temple, just like he did 3 years earlier, he began to overturn the tables and cast out those that bought and sold and made profit on the things and on the name of God. We find here he begins to heal many blind, and he gives strength back to the lame. And the Bible says that he performed many wonderful works. There, even the children themselves, the Bible says at the beginning of the chapter, cried, "Hosanna to the Son of David." What they were saying, you, it was an utterance of praise. It was a word or an utterance of thanksgiving and blessing. Hosanna, they were saying, "Oh, save us. Save us, we pray, the Son of David." We find this upset the chief priest. the scribes and the religious sect, the moral sect of that day. The Bible says they were sore displeased, and they began to challenge his authority. They began to ask Christ, our Savior, by what authority doest thou these things? We find it true today. By what authority? By what authority? By what right do you have to come into the temple and overthrow the tables? By what authority do you heal the sick and give sight to the blind and cause the dead to rise? By what authority do you forgive sins and give new life? By what authority are you due all this praise and adoration? By what authority? They begin to challenge his authority. We hear it today. It's true in the area and the time and the society we live in. Who says Jesus is the Son of God? Who says that he's the only way to heaven? Who says he is God Almighty? They challenged his authority. Jesus, let me add and submit to you this morning, the Jesus in Matthew chapter 21 is the same Jesus in 2021. He is one of authority. He is a conquering God, and let me say he is a crowned God. We find here in the last days, he's given us and wants us, given the church, reminds us here in the last days that he's still in control, that he's still in charge in the lives of men today. Bible says in Psalms 95 verse 3, "For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." You see, when you begin to specify God, when you begin to identify Jesus Christ, they challenge the authority. We've noticed, and you noticed, having a generic religion is very popular today. Just don't specify deity. As long as you say, "I believe in a God, I trust a God, I worship a God," that's fine, that's popular, and that's well accepted. But when you say God, when you say there's only one God, it's one triune God, that's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, you identify and you specify deity, they'll challenge authority. It's good news, though, this morning, that this God, Jesus Christ, the Most High God, is still in control. He's a conquering God. He's a crown God, and they challenged his authority. In Matthew 21, Jesus, he begins to preach this great message. He preaches this great message, a stirring message, a convicting message, by using a parable. It's about a man that has two sons that they were his heirs, two sons that were going to get his vineyard, his land. And we find there's another account in the Bible about a man with two sons. One of those sons was a prodigal son. And I'll submit this morning, in both of those instances, they deal, in both of those stories, in both of those texts, deals with sinners being saved. Our text, Jesus, he asked these chief questions, these chief priests and these scribes a question. I say number two, there's a crucial question asked. It's an important question. In verse 28, he says, "But what think ye?" What do you think? What's your opinion? What's your thoughts on the matter? He's wanting a response to this parable. He's wanting an answer to the story that he tells. And true today, I believe God, through the work and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is still wanting a response and an answer from every one of us here this morning. He's looking, he's waiting, he's expecting a response. Will you take up your cross and follow me? Will you surrender all? Will you give? Will you go? Will you trust me? He's waiting for a response to every one of us this morning. When we leave this morning, before we leave this morning, every one of us will give a response. We'll either say yes to Christ or we'll say no to his call and his will. Obviously, this man this morning was a landowner. He speaks of a vineyard. Had no doubt many parcels of land in a vineyard. Did you know the Bible, it speaks of the vineyard and it refers to the vineyard as God's people? In Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 7, the Bible says, "For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plants." But in the New Testament, he begins to speak of the redeemed, the saved, the born again. And he says in John 15, 5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit." My prayer this morning to every one of us that are saved and been redeemed by the good grace and the blood of Jesus Christ, we're bringing forth, we're bearing, we're carrying, we're producing much fruit to his honor and to his glory. He's asking these chief priests and he's these scribes a crucial question, and he's asking that same question to us. What fruit do you have to show? What work, what act, what deed is my vineyard producing? We find a crucial question. But what think ye? I can hear the minds turning of these proud, of these haughty, of these vain enemies of Christ. Matter of fact, in verse 45, the Bible says when the scribes of the Pharisees heard these things, they perceived that he spake of them. He told this story, this parable, and they perceived that he's talking about us. He's speaking about us. We're the ones that he's talking about, the ones that keep the law, the one that practice all the religious requirements, the ones that give, the moral ones, the ones that tithe, the ones that keep the Sabbath, the ones that honored this God with their lips, but their heart was far from him. You see, in reading and studying this text this week, I believe that this is one of the most direct accounts of Jesus Christ telling men face to face that they are lost. Verse number 31. The Bible says, "Verily, I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you." It's a parable. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. He comes, he tells this parable of two sons going to work in the vineyard. One of these sons says no, but later on he repents. Afterward, he repents, says, "Yes, I'll go." He comes to the second son. The son says, "Yes, I'll go," but he never goes. You see, the first son, it's a picture of probably every one of us this morning. Picture of a lost soul. Born into sin, born in shaping iniquity, rejecting God from an early age. But later, through conviction, through drawing, through convincing of the Holy Ghost, changes his mind, changes his ways, repents, and obeys his Father's will. But what, think ye? A crucial question. What, think ye? There's another time in the New Testament Christ asked the same question. What, think ye? What think ye that who is the son, whose son is he? He was also speaking of the scribes and the Pharisees. It was also found in the book of Matthew, and it's also dealing with salvation. A crucial question. A crucial question asked to every one of us. Be sure this morning. Be sure this morning that your response is right. He asked a crucial question. His authority was challenged, but notice the condemning response. Verse number 28. "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' And he answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he repented and went." This young man, in this parable, has been called to do the will of his father. And he answered and said, "I will not." He didn't make any excuses. He didn't look for ways to get out of it. He just said, "I will not go. I will not." It's a response of rebellion. I believe we would all agree this morning that the culture and the society we live in today, in America as a whole, has become one of rebellion. Rebellion against authority. Rebellion against laws and ethics. Rebellion against truth and righteousness. Rebellion against God and Jesus Christ. Rebellion. You see, rebellion today is very, very popular. Rebellion is celebrated and it's accepted. Rebellion is paraded through all avenues of media and is rewarded. It's hidden under the umbrella and under the shade of things like being woke. It's hidden under the charade of the term of activists. You know, there's no longer thieves and rioters and looters. It's rebellion, and it's being rewarded. But let me tell you what the Bible says about rebellion. In 1 Samuel, it says, rebellion is the sin as witchcraft, and is stubborn as iniquity and idolatry. You see, this first son rebels. He says, I will not. He answers, I will not. But I'm glad this morning, we've already sang about it, we serve a God of mercy, a God of second chances. I'm glad for that adverb in our text, afterward. Verse 29, but afterward, he repented and went. Thank God for afterward. Thank God for second chances and mercy and long-suffering. This father, he's filled with grace. This father's filled with compassion. This father's filled with long-suffering. This father's filled with care. He doesn't stone him. He had every right. He doesn't ostracize him. He doesn't cast him aside for his rebellion. You know, this morning, every one of us ought to raise our hands and lift our voices and thank God for the afterwards in our life, for the second chances, for the opportunities that God didn't throw the clay away, that he gave us another opportunity to repent. Time after time, chance after chance, we're allowed to reconsider so many times the things of God. You see, this morning, this parable, it's a testimony to every one of us in the building. You see, there's no telling. There's no telling what this son did, what sins he committed against the Father in his time of rebellion. But this God, this gift of grace from God, with the gift of the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit to convince us, with the gift of time and with the gift of long-suffering, came the gift of repentance, and from that came the gift of forgiveness. It's grace. I bless his name for the grace and the long-suffering he showed me. I believe the songwriter said it best. Naked into to thee for dress. Helpless, I look to thee for grace. Vile to thee I fly. Wash me, or Savior, I die. Nothing in my hand I bring, but simply to the cross I cling. This son did nothing to earn this salvation. He did nothing to earn this grace. Well, he did nothing to earn. You see, everything this morning concerning our salvation is a gift from God. Everything in your spiritual life is a gift from God. I preached about it Wednesday night. It's of him, it's to him, and it's through him. You see, when we came to Christ, there was nothing we could muster. There's nothing we could work or act or deed that was good enough. You say, wait a minute, preacher. I see a deed. I see an act in our text. The Bible says, afterward, he repented. Repentance. Did you know this morning that repentance is not even a deed, act, or labor on your part? You say, what about that, preacher? When I repent, I change my mind, I change my ways, I turn to God. But the Bible says in Acts 11:18, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted, gave repentance unto life. Every aspect about your salvation is because of God. God is the God of salvation. This morning, it's called grace. To the one that hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God. It's a condemning response. He asks a crucial question. They challenged his authority. Look at this response, this condemning response. The first son, he was asked to go work in the vineyard. He says no, but afterward he repented and goes. The father goes to the second son. He said, would you go? These two young men, I believe, represents all humanity. All's response to Jesus Christ. Verse number 30. He came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. It says he came to the second. The word came, it literally means to come face to face. He asked his son personally. He asked his son intimately. He asked his son directly, face to face. And we find the son lies. It's a deceptive lie. The Bible says he answered. It means to respond with discernment or forethought. He was thinking. He was pondering. I can say yes. I can give him lip service. I can get him off my back. I can look like it on the outside. But I never, no, never will go. The Bible says he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Here's his response in modern English. Yes, sir, I'll go, but never doing what he promised. You know, I think of Demas. The Bible's full of men throughout that gives this lip service that maybe has good intentions, but deep inside, never truly do what they promised God. Demas, once a fellow laborer in Christ, he said, I'll go. But Paul writes to Timothy and says, Demas has forsaken me. Demas said he'd go. Demas said he'd be faithful. Demas said, yes, count me in. But he said, Demas had forsaken me. Why? Having loved this present world and has departed to Thessalonica. Demas, we find, was given the opportunity. He was given the privilege to travel, to minister, to evangelize with Paul. But at Paul's most crucial time, his most critical time in prison, Demas had forsaken him. Judas, just like the second, said yes, but truly, never in his heart, did what he promised he would do. What will your response be this morning? I believe he's asking. I believe he's seeking. I believe he's speaking. I believe he's wooing. It's a crucial question. And this son, he gives a condemning response. But notice this clear application. The Lord gives this application to these Pharisees. He's given this heavenly, this earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Hopefully, their blinded eyes would be open. It's a clear application in verse number 31. He said, whether of them twain did the will of his father? And they say unto him, the first. He said, which of the two? Which of these two sons did the father's will? Finally, the obedient one or ultimately the disobedient one? Which one followed his father's desire? And they answered, the first. But notice, our Savior amplifies their response. The first son, who initially said no, but later repented, was a picture of so many folks. They were a picture, the Bible says, of publicans. Publicans like Zacchaeus. Publicans like Matthew, the very writer of this gospel. They were pictures of harlots like Rahab and like Gomer and like Mary Magdalene. These people, they were first outcast. They were first despised by the world, but they'll be in heaven because the love and the grace and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad this morning the good God of heaven gives us time to repent? Aren't you glad this morning when you rejected Christ, when you were saying no to Christ, he didn't allow you to die and go to hell. Aren't you glad this morning he loved us, as we're already saying, when we were unlovable? You may not have been a publican, you may not have been a harlot, but aren't you glad a bunch of old sinners has the privilege this morning to serving in the vineyard? He challenged his authority. He asked a crucial question. What do you think? They gave a condemning response. We find it's a clear application to everyone. But lastly, in closing, I see there's a continuing of this grace. Throughout this text, we find and we see grace after grace after grace. Jesus comes to the temple. He cleanses the temple. He overthrows the tables. He heals the many multitudes. He performs many wonderful works. He leaves that day and he goes to Bethany. The next day, he comes back to the city and he walks into the temple. You see, he didn't come to the temple to condemn these chief priests and Pharisees. He didn't come to condemn those ones that were full of self-righteousness and good works. But he came to give them another opportunity. Another opportunity, another chance, a space of grace. We find as we read this parable, these sons, their initial response was not the final answer. One says no, but goes. One says yes, but never goes. You know, this morning, I was thinking just a few minutes ago, many of you may have sons or daughters, parents, moms or dads, loved ones, family members, that on the outside you think and you see their fruit, you see their life, you see their rejection. In the back of your mind, you said there's no hope for them. There's no hope that they'll ever accept Christ. But we find Christ, he comes back one more time to show a space of grace. Perhaps this morning you're saved. You've accepted Christ. You rejected him once, but now you've, through the convincing and the conviction of the Holy Ghost, you're in the fold, you're in the family of God. But yet, over the years, through the days, he's asked and he's called you to do a certain work. He's time after time, he's pleaded and he's asked you to maybe to testify, maybe to go and work in the field, but you've said no. Title of the message, yes or no. You know, this morning, if you're saved, we should be rejoicing. But through the years, for whatever reason, our hearts may have grown calloused and hard. You don't hear his voice like you once. He don't speak to you like he used to speak to you, because those time after time, you've said no. He's given us an afterword. He's given us this space of grace to repent. I don't know your need this morning. You may have family need members that needs prayer. He's given us a chance, an afterword, to make the right choice. Let's all stand this morning. Misty, do you have a song you can play or sing? This altar's open. Maybe you're finding yourself this morning, you said no to Christ for whatever reason. He's given us another chance. Yes or no? It's a crucial question. Make sure it's not a condemning response. Father, we want to thank you this morning for your blessings, for the time around the Word of God. Thank you, Father, for your Spirit. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity, the space of grace to call upon your name. I don't know the needs of the congregation. I don't know the needs of the time. Lord, there are many, I know many families here this morning that have wayward sons and wayward daughters. God, we're thanking you for that time, the grace that you've extended, Lord, that you prick their hearts and prick their minds. Give them the opportunity to call upon your name before it's eternally too late. Father, they may be some saved children of God, good children of God here this morning, but for whatever reason, that one work, that one deed, that one thing you desire them to do, they've said no. Father, give them another opportunity. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your long-suffering. We thank you, Father, for all you are, for who you are, and what you've done in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.